नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पात्र देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता which is titled as Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. I'll do a very quick recap of what we have seen till now. Krishna, in the third chapter, introduced the concept Nishkama Karma Yoga. So how one progresses from Sakama Karma to Nishkama Karma. So he introduced this concept in the third chapter and how exactly it is practiced. Some details about it was shared by Krishna in the fourth chapter, and how by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga one comes to the stage of Jnana, one attains the stage of Jnana, was described in the towards the end of fourth chapter. Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram Miha Vidyate Tat Swayam Yoga Samsiddha Kalena Atmani Mindati. So he says that how by performance of Nishkama Karma Yoga, naturally and spontaneously one reaches the level of purity of heart by which one becomes qualified for Jnana. So like that he mentioned towards the end of the fourth chapter. And in the fifth chapter, Krishna actually discussed about Jnana Yoga. How by practice of Jnana Yoga one attains liberation was discussed in the fifth chapter, where he talked about types of Jnana Yoga. One is Karma Sannyas, another is Grihastha Sannyas. So he spoke about two types of, two platforms on which one can act on the platform of Jnana. One is the platform of Karma Sannyas, where one gives up the Grihastha Ashram, takes up to Sannyas Ashram, gives up one's Varna Dharma and all that. By that also one can achieve liberation. But there is a problem with that. Now the problem is that if your heart is actually not properly purified, and if you even little bit prematurely give up your Grihastha life and your Varna Dharma, and later after taking up to Sannyas realize that heart is actually not completely purified, then there is a problem. There is no means, because you have given up your Varna Dharma, you can no longer purify your heart. And just without purification of heart, you will not be able to meditate on the Brahman and realize that Brahman. It won't be possible. So that sannyas would be a wasted sannyas. So then he discusses as an alternative, he presents the path of Grihastha sannyas, where remain in your Grihastha Ashram, do not give it up. Continue practicing it. And even if you think that your heart is purified and you have reached the stage of Jnana, you can parallelly pursue path of Jnana without giving up your Varnashrama duties. So this is the stage of Grihastha Sannyas, which Krishna seemed to recommend as being better than Karma Sannyas. So then, how by such a practice one reaches liberation towards the end of fifth chapter, he discussed that how if that practice involves the element of bhakti, then by the element of bhakti one realizes the Paramatma also, and by realizing the Paramatma one can achieve liberation. And then towards the end of fifth chapter, the last three verses, Krishna introduced Ashtanga Yoga to indicate that this same liberation can be achieved by practice of Ashtanga Yoga also, and this Ashtanga Yoga is actually superior to practice of Jnana Yoga. So in this way, he introduced Ashtanga towards the end of fifth chapter. And then Sixth chapter starts with the description of Ashtanga Yoga. So he introduces Ashtanga Yoga by telling, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiyah sa sanyasi cha yogi cha niragnir na chakriya. He says, the real symptom of sannyas or yoga is not actually giving up of one's varnashrama duties. The real symptom is actually detachment, internal detachment from the fruits of one's karma. So it is not external detachment, external giving up of one's dharma that actually indicates a real symptom of sannyas or yoga. It is actually internal detachment from the fruits of those activities. Then he says, Yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam viddhi pandava nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. He says, oh my dear Arjuna, know that sannyas and yoga are more or less the same. In fact, one who has not given up attachment, given up desire in his actions, desire, not desire for his actions, desire for the fruits while performing his actions, he is never a yogi. So, and then he say, in the next verse, he introduces two stages of practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, the Yoga Rurukshu and the Yoga Ruda stage. Arurukshur Muner Yogam Karma Karana Muchate Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamakkarana Muchyate. He says in the early stages of Ashtanga Yoga, when the heart is not yet purified of material desires, the means of attaining perfection is by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. By performing of Nishkama Karma Yoga, one purifies the heart. But when the heart becomes sufficiently purified, and if one is able to meditate on the Paramatma within, then one should give up that the practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, because it will be an obstacle in continuous meditation on the Paramatma within. Okay. So Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamakkarana Muchyate. The means of perfection at the stage of Yoga Ruda is by giving up the Varnashrama duties. But in the early stages, when the heart is not yet purified, the means of perfection is to practice Varnashrama duties by which the heart becomes purified. Then he says, Yadahi Nendriya Arteshu Na Karmasu Anushajyate Sarva Sankalpa Sanyasi Yoga Rudas Tadochyate. What are the symptoms of a Yoga Ruda? He says, Yadana Indriya Arteshu Na Karmasu Anushajyate. There is no attachment to sense objects and there is no attachment to karma. So such a person is ready for Yoga Ruda and he is fit to give up his karma. Yoga Rudastadochyate. Okay. Then he describes the then he says, Uddared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadaye Atmaiva hi Atmana Bandur Atmaiva Ripuratmana. He indicates the importance of controlling the mind. He says that one can deliver oneself by practice of through the mind, or one can bind oneself to this material world through the mind. But one should diligently try to deliver the soul by the mind and not degrade it. Because the mind can become one's best friend or your worst enemy. Okay, then he says, Banduratmatmanastasya yenatmaiva atmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatru. A controlled mind becomes one's friend, whereas an uncontrolled mind becomes one's worst enemy. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitaha shitoshna sukadukkeshu tatana apamana yohu. So how do you identify a person who has reached the stage of Yoga Ruda, who is fit to give up his varnashrama duties? So he says, jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitaha. So jitatmana, such a yogi should have controlled his mind, prashantasya, he must have given up all attachments to material enjoyment. Atma param samahitaha. And his soul is situated in deep trance. Complete meditation on the Paramatma. And such a person शीत उष्ण सुख दुख मान अपमान योहो ही इज सिचुएटेड इन दिस ट्रांस, विच मीन्स ही इज नॉट डिस्टर्ब बाई एक्सट्रीम कंडीशंस ऑफ बॉडी माइंड और फॉल्स ईगो. ओके, शीत उष्ण इज बॉडी, सुख दुख इज सटल बॉडी माइंड, एंड मान अपमान इज ऑन द लेवल ऑफ फॉल्स ईगो. ही इज नॉट डिस्टर्ब फ्रॉम हिज मेडिटेशन. सो सच अ पर्सन इज फिट फॉर योगारूढ़. ज्ञान विज्ञान तप्तात्मा कूटस्थो विजितेन्द्रिय युक्त इति उच्यते योगी समलोष्ट्राश्म कांचना. फर्दर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द योगारूढ़ डिवोट योगारूढ़ योगी, ही सेज दैट ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा सच अ पर्सन इज वेरी मच सैटिस्फाइड विद द नॉलेज एंड रियलाइजेशन दैट ही गेन्स बाय प्रैक्टिस ऑफ हिज योगी ऑफ हिज योगा. कूटस्थ ही इज परवेडेड बाय वन नेचर, यू नो अनलाइक ऑर्डिनरी पर्सन हु अंडर conditions of joy he has a particular nature, and the conditions of anxiety he has a different nature. No, this person is has one nature throughout. Vijitendriya has completely controlled his senses, and sama loshtrashma kanchanaha. So he considers earth, stone and gold as the same, as we discussed before. Not that he lacks that ability to discriminate between these three, but just that he finds no utility in any of them because he is transcendentally situated in that sense. सुहृन्मित्रादिदासीन मध्यस्थद्वेषबन्धुषु साधुषु अपि च पापेषु समबुद्धिर्विशिष्यते. And even better, one who, when one progresses even more on the path of yoga, then he will be able to see equally a well-wisher, a friend, a neutral person, a mediator, an enemy and a relative, the sinner and the pious person. He will be able to see all of them similarly. You know, that is possible if one progresses still further, like that. Then he says that Yogi Yunjita Satatam Atmanam Rahasi Stitaha Ekaki Yata Chittatma Nirashir Aparigraha. And when he reaches this Yogaruda stage, such a yogi should. Atmanam yunjita satatam. He should always absorb his mind in samadhi. Ekaki rahasi stitaha. And such a yogi should always live alone in a solitary place, because he should not be disturbed by other people and other living entities. Yata chittatma, being completely controlled in his mind and body. He should not have any desire, and he should not have any possessiveness towards things of this world, people of this world, like that. शुचौ देशे प्रतिष्ठाप्य स्थिरम आसनम आत्मनः नाति उच्चरितम नाति नीचम चैलाजिन कुशोत्तरम तत्रैकाग्रम मन कृत्वा यतच्चित्तेन्द्रिय क्रियाः उपविश्यासने युञ्जा योगम आत्म विशुद्धये. तो सच अ पर्सन यू नो इफ ही हैज नॉट एट रीच द योगारूढ स्टेज देन ही गिव्स सम टिप्स एज टू हाउ टू चूज अ प्लेस हाउ टू सिट एंड ऑल दैट. One should establish a very solid asana without, you know, it should not be moving here and there, in a clean place, which should not be too high, not be too low. And first should be a layer of kushagras, on top of that a deer skin, and on top of that he should put a cloth and sit on that. And he should concentrate the mind at one point, controlling the activities of mind and senses. And he should engage in his yoga for the purification of consciousness. तत्र समं काय शिरोग्रीवं धारयन् अचलं स्थिरः संप्रेक्ष्य नासिकाग्रं स्वं दिशश्च अनवलोकयन् प्रशान्तात्मा विगतभिः ब्रह्मचारी व्रते स्थितः मनः संयम्य मच्चित्तो युक्त आसीत मत्सर मत्परः. सो ही सेज दैट समं काय शिरोग्रीवं, इट्स हिज टॉर्सो, हिज नेक एंड हिज हेड शुड बी इन वन लाइन. ही शुड बी मोशनलेस एंड वेरी फर्म. And he should be gazing at the tip of his nose, meaning his eyes should neither be completely open nor it should be completely closed. If it is completely open, he will be distracted. If it is completely closed, he may go to sleep. So he should be glancing at the tip of the nose, means the eyes should be half open, half closed, like that. And with a peaceful mind, he should be fearless, practice celibacy and withdrawing his mind from the sense objects, and he meditating on me, mat paraha. He should remain absorbed in devotion to me. Of course, this devotion is not pure devotion. This talk about devotion being an element of that practice of Ashtanga Yoga, that is very critical. Without that element of devotion, that practice of Ashtanga Yoga will not be, he will not be able to realize the Paramatma. So, mat chitta, mat paraha. So indicate that definitely the element of devotion is very critical to attain realization of Atma, without which he will not be able to attain liberation. Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasah atim nirvana paramam mat samstamadigacchati. And in this way, if the yogi is engaged his mind in meditation and completely being devoid of attachment for sense objects, he destroys his bondage to this material world and he attains impersonal liberation. But natyashnatastu yogosti nacheikantam anashnatah nachati swapnashilasya jagrato nevacha Arjuna. But Arjuna, this yoga cannot be perfected, or any yoga cannot be perfected by a person who eats too much or who does not eat, for one who sleeps too much or does not sleep sufficiently. So about eating, the acharyas quote this verse: puraye ashanenardam tritiyam udakenatu vayoho sancharanartam tu chaturtam avasheshe. One should fill half the stomach with food, 1/4 with water, and 1/4 for the movement of the air. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. Regulation is a very important aspect of practice of yoga. One should have regulated eating, regulated walking or recreation, regulated use of organs for both the material and spiritual activities, regulated sleep and regulated waking up. Only with such kind of a regulated practice of yoga, that yoga destroys suffering. Otherwise, that practice of yoga does not destroy suffering. So then he says that yada vinam chittam atmanyeva avatishtate nispraha sarva kamebhyo yukte iti uchate tada. When one practices yoga in such a regulated way, reaches higher stages of yoga, then when his consciousness becomes motionless and fixes on the self alone, without desire for any other object of this world, then such a person is said to be perfect in yoga. And how is his consciousness? Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopama sprita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmanah. So such a person's consciousness is compared to flame in a windless place. That flame does not move at all. Similarly, the consciousness of that person does not move at all because it is completely controlled. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati sukham atyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatra na chaivayam stitas chalati tatvatah yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tatah yasmin stito na dukke na gurunapi vichalyate tam vidya dukkha samyoga vyogam yoga samgitam sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. So here in these four verses, Krishna describes yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. When the consciousness, when the function of the consciousness becomes, consciousness here becomes chitta, it means chitta. When the chitta becomes completely non-functional, which means when the antakarana is not taking the material stimulus from the senses and transforming it into material emotions by which one gets bound to this material world. When the consciousness is completely controlled and or when the chitta becomes completely controlled and is no longer generating any material emotions, then by the practice of yoga. And yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan, wherein one is able to see the Paramatma with the aid of Paramatma, meaning one is able to see the Paramatma because one cannot see the Paramatma using material senses and material mind. And because material senses and material mind have already been surrendered by the yogi, he is able to see the Paramatma because by the help of Paramatma, who by his mercy has empowered him to utilize the utilize soul's own perceiving ability through which he sees the Paramatma. And in this way, Atmani Tushyati, the yogi is completely satisfied. Vetti Atyantikam Sukam Yattad Buddhi Grahyam Atindriyam. And in that stage, he experiences such an extraordinary bliss which can be assimilated only by spiritual intelligence, but material senses cannot understand that bliss. Yatra stitaha ayam nacha eva tatvataha chalati. So when one reaches that stage, he does not move from that stage. He is very fixed in that particular age. Manyate yam labdva, yam lavam labdva, aparam nadikam tataha. And he considers that this stage is such an exalted stage and there can be nothing higher than this stage, which means he is perfectly satisfied with this. Yasmin stitaha na gurunapi dukkena vichalyate. And being situated at this stage, whatever excruciating pain he may externally encounter, he is not disturbed by it at all. Tam vidya dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. Know that such a situation of being completely, of having completely transcended all the material miseries is called as yoga. Sa yogo nischayena yuktavyo. This yoga must be practiced with determination, because success may not come very quickly. And because it does not come, one should not lose determination. And when failure comes, one should not become depressed. Anirvinna chetasa. One should be devoid of depression. Like that. So like that he describes, Krishna describes in these four verses very powerfully this practice of yoga. And then he says, Sankalpa prabhavan kamam stetva sarvan asheshatah manasai vendriya gramam viniyamya samantatah shanair shanair uparamed buddhya dhatigihitaya atma samstam manakritva nakinchid apichintayet. So finally, giving up completely all sense objects as well as all sensory vasanas and completely controlling the senses by the mind and by concentrated intelligence, and with the mind meditating on Atma, he should gradually remain in that samadhi and he should not think of anything else but the Atma. And but yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyamyetad atmanyeva vasham nayet. But whenever the mind wanders here and there, he should pull the mind back and fix it on the self. Prashanta manasam hiyenam yoginam sukamuttamam upeti shanta rajasam brahmabhutam akalmasham. And in this way, when he practices this yoga with this kind of a determination, then he attains supreme bliss. When his mind becomes completely pacified, he becomes completely devoid of the influence of passion and sin, and he reaches the stage of Brahmabhuta, Brahmabhuta stage. Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmashah sukena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukamashnate. And thus, experiencing Atma, the yogi who has transcended all kind of sins easily attains unlimited bliss of experiencing the Paramatma. And what is this realization of Paramatma? Sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanah. Such a person who sees Paramatma as equal to all, So the first aspect of Paramatma realization is that he realizes that the Paramatma is equal to all, and he realizes that the Paramatma is the controller of all living entities, and he also realizes that the Paramatma is the resting place of all living entities. So in this way, this is actually Paramatma realization, not that he just sees the Paramatma, but he realizes the Paramatma Tattva, the Tattva of Paramatma. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashyati, Tasyaham Na Pranashyami, Sachamena Pranashyati. What is the result of that realization of Paramatma, which was described in the previous verse? He says, he who sees me as Brahman everywhere, and he who sees everything in me, he never, tasya aham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. He never loses sight of me, nor do I ever lose sight of him. So, that's what he says. I am continually present before him, and my worshipper is never lost to me, like that. Sarvabhuta stitam yomam bhajat yekatva mastitah sarvata vartamanopi sayogi mayi vartate. So then he says, the yogi who worships me, bhajati, ultimately he may have reached the Brahmabhuta stage, but even though he may have reached the Brahmabhuta stage, he should not give up the limbs of bhakti. Bhajati, he should worship Krishna. That the limbs of devotion should not be given up by that yogi. The yogi who worships me as the one living being, Sarva Bhuta Stitam, who is the cause of all, Saha Mayi Vartate, that yogi exists in me, Sarvata Vartamanopi, no matter what is his manner of worship, he will exist in me, like that. Then, finally concluding this description of Ashtanga Yoga, he says, Atma Upamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna, Sukham Va Yadiva Dukkam Sayogi Paramo Matah. My dear Arjuna, I consider the pinnacle of perfection of equal vision is the vision of empathy, he says. This is the pinnacle of equal vision, is Atma Upamyena Sarvatra Sukham Va Yadiva Dukkam. So one samam pashyati, one who sees equally all happiness and suffering of other people as equal to himself, which means he is able to empathize with other people's suffering and happiness, such a person has reached the highest stage of yoga. Okay, so in this way Krishna describes this process of yoga. And then at that point of time, Arjuna asked this question. Yoyam yoga stvaya prokta samyena madhusudana yetasyaham na pashyami chanchalatvat stitim stiram. He says, my dear Krishna, you talk about this equal vision, samaloshtrashna kanchana, suhrin mitrari udasina madhyastha dvesha bandushu, sadushu apicha papeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. This equal vision of seeing enemy and friend equally and all. Maybe 1 or 2 days I can do it, but continuously to see Yudhishthir Maharaj and Duryodhana on the same level is not possible for me. What kind of yoga are you suggesting? You know, this yoga is very difficult because my mind is very fickle. So, like that. And then he is going to continue describing about the mind and ask this question. Is it really possible to practice this yoga in this day and age? But before we continue that discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to ask, add, based on what we have discussed till now and whatever we have summarized till now, you can please go ahead. And then we will continue today's discussion. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, if there is none. Okay, yes, Keshav Priyaman.
Prabhuji, in one translation is given, he will be situated in motionless consciousness and he will be seeing himself. It is given now, Prabhuji. So seeing like motionless consciousness, seeing themselves, mean what state is it? Seeing himself, and what is it he'll be seeing, Prabhuji?
Yes, seeing means experiencing, which means he has transcended the bodily consciousness.
Yes, Prabhuji, that time, what state is like the Swarupa, his original position will be revealed, Prabhuji, or what, just a feeling of he is a soul, he is not his body?
Yeah, he is a soul, he is not the body, only that.
Only that will be revealed.
Okay. Yes, yes.
And that itself is blissful, is it, Prabhuji? That itself is Brahmananda.
That is extraordinarily blissful.
Okay.
In compared to material pleasures, but not in comparison to the bliss of prema.
They also don't need any external support for their happiness. They'll be naturally happy, is it, Prabhuji?
Yes, yes, absolutely. No, no external material stimulus is needed for them to be happy.
They'll just feel themselves very blissful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you.
Right. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, so let us continue our discussion then. So next, Arjuna continues. Famous verse, often quoted. So Arjuna says, Chanchalam himanat krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham na pra, tasyaham nigraham manye vayo rivasu dushkaram. So he says, Chanchalam himanat krishna, oh Krishna, this mind is very fickle. Pramati, fickle means moving here and there, sometimes here, sometimes there. Pramati means agitating. But balavad, you may say that, oh, if it is fickle, then pull it and keep it, sit at one place. He says, no, this is balavad, very powerful also. And dridam, dridam means firm or very stubborn. The mind is fickle, agitating, strong and stubborn. Chanchalam pramati balavad dridam. So therefore Arjuna is telling, aham manye, therefore in my opinion, O Krishna, tasya nigraham vayoriva sudushkaram. Therefore, to control this mind, in my opinion, is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. No one can control raging wind. People can only protect themselves from raging wind. No one can control raging wind. That is not possible. Right? But Arjuna can, through his Dhanurvidya. He is capable of doing that. So he says, I can control the raging wind, but I cannot control my mind, because it is chanchalam pramati balavad dridam. It is very fickle, agitating, strong and rebellious, stubborn. So here Srila Vaishnava Thakur says, in this verse Arjuna speaks of the fickle mind, because if you have seen in this chapter, Krishna speaks a lot about controlling the mind. And after hearing this, Arjuna is like really uncomfortable. He feels, you know, I cannot practice yoga that you're talking about, because, you know, I feel this kind of control of mind that you're talking about is very difficult for me to attain. So Krishna says, but Arjuna, it is possible to control the mind, discriminating intellect, according to the scriptures. Sharpen your intellect and you can control your mind, Arjuna. Because the Shruti says, Atmanam ratinam viddi shariram ratamevacha. The soul is the passenger and the body is the chariot, Katha Upanishad. And then Smriti also says, Ahu shariram ratamindriyani हयान भीषून मन इंद्रियेशम वर्तमानि मात्रा दिशनम च सूतम सत्वम हद्बंधुरमीश सृष्टम. द ज्ञानी से द बॉडी इज द चैरियट शरीरम रथम इंद्रियाणि हयान द सेंसेस आर द हॉर्सेस विच आर रनिंग एवरीवेयर मन द माइंड इंद्रिय ईशम विच इज द मास्टर ऑफ द सेंसेस is the abhishun. Abhishun means the reins. Mind is the reins. The sense objects are the vartmani, are the destinations where the each horse is running towards different destination. Right. Dishanam sutam. Dishana is intelligence. Intelligence is the chariot driver. Suta. Sutam means the chariot driver. Sattvam, the conscious which spreads throughout the body made by the Lord, is the seat of the charioteer. Is the seat for the charioteer. So the charioteer is the soul. The intelligence is the chariot driver. Okay, intelligence is the chariot driver. The passenger is the soul. The reins are the mind. The horses are the senses. And the destinations are the sense objects. So Krishna may say, look, Arjuna, it's so difficult for you to control your mind. You know, sharpen your intelligence. By your intelligence, control your mind. Krishna says, you really think it is possible? But the mind very strong, the mind very strongly agitates the intellect. Pramati. Pra stands for prakarshena and very strongly. And mat means to churn. It very strongly agitates the mind, the intellect. So he says, but how can that happen? Isn't the intellect supposed to control the mind? So, Arjuna says, just as a strong disease does not recognize the medicine which is supposed to cure it, the strong mind by its very nature ignores the discriminating intellect. Balavat. When the disease is very strong, it does not recognize the medicine. It does not respond to the medicine. Similarly, a very strong and stubborn mind ignores the discriminating intellect, even though intellect tries to control it, but it does not get controlled. More, the mind is very firm, like iron, which is impossible to pierce by the fine needle of intellect. Dridam. So, pramati, it agitates the intellect. Balavat, it ignores the intellect. And dridam, it cannot be pierced by the intellect. Dridam means it is very firm, like an iron. You cannot use a needle to pierce a piece of iron. The intellect, you sharpen the intellect. Okay. How much ever you sharpen the needle, it cannot pierce through a piece of iron. It can pierce through a bunch of leaves or a bunch of paper or a bunch of cloth. But a piece of iron, it cannot pierce through. So therefore, when Krishna says, oh, sharpen your intelligence, Arjuna. You sharpen your intelligence. You know, that intelligence will get bent like a needle. A needle, if you use a needle to pierce through a piece of iron, the needle will get bent or broken. So, you know, I don't think this is a valid way of controlling the mind. I don't think. He says, I consider it is difficult to overcome the mind by Ashtanga Yoga. That is like trying to control the violent wind in the sky by stopping the breath with Kumbhaka. He says, you know, you can control the internal, you know, prana by practicing kumbhaka, rechaka, and you know, like that. So, but you cannot you cannot control the raging wind in the sky through your practice of pranayama. Through practice of pranayama, you can control the flow of prana within. But the raging wind outside cannot be controlled by your pranayama. So my mind is like that raging wind. And this Ashtanga Yoga is like that small pranayama. So how can it control the raging wind outside? So I don't think this, you know, are you sure? You have spoken so much about this Ashtanga Yoga, but I have my own doubts because I think controlling the mind is so difficult. This is what Arjuna says here. So now Krishna is going to answer this question. But before that, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. Krishna answers this question. Very interesting answer Krishna gives here. Please listen carefully. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena to Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Grihyate. So he says, O Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna. Arjuna, you are Mahabaho. You are not an ordinary person. You are a great Kshatriya. And you are speaking like this. Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. Speak like a Kshatriya, Arjuna. You are Mahabaho, you are mighty arm. But Asamshayam, no doubt what you say is right. So first Krishna agrees with Arjuna's fear or doubt. So he says, Asamshayam, no doubt what you say is right. Manaha durnigraham chalam. This mind is durnigraham. It is very difficult to control. And chalam, it's very fickle. I agree with your point. I am not denying it. But grihyate. It is possible to control this mind abhyasena by repeated practice and vairagyena by practice of detachment. By repeated practice of yoga and by practicing detachment, it is possible to control the mind. Yes, normally the mind is very, very difficult to control and very fickle. But I don't think the kind of extreme hopelessness that you are presenting, you don't need to be so hopeless. It is possible to attain success by practice of Ashtanga Yoga. It just needs repeated practice and detachment. Then it is possible. That's what he says. So he says, accepting what Arjuna has said, Krishna gives a conclusion. What you have said is certainly true, O Arjuna. But even though a disease may be very serious, by taking the right medicine according to the doctor's prescription repeatedly, after a long time, the disease gets cured. Just this morning, I got a message from one of the devotees. Whose son was suffering due to certain physical ailment. And he was situated in a place where there were no good doctors. So they gave him medicines for fever. But actually after suffering for 3-4 days, they suspected that, oh, this is actually jaundice. And And because his eyes had become yellowish and he had started passing yellow, very yellow urine and all that. And then they said, oh, we cannot actually, we don't have the facility to cure you. You have to get yourself admitted to a hospital. So you go to your native place. So then he booked a ticket, caught a flight, came back to Mumbai. And then directly from the airport, he went to the hospital and got admitted there. And his parameters became like very, sort of very, very high. And doctor said, look, it's, you know, he has come at us, you know, at an advanced stage. So immediately he will not be cured, but regularly if he keeps taking his medicines, gradually, you know, gradually he will respond to the medicine. Otherwise, immediately, if you think, you know, this is not like a fever which can be cured by taking one Crocin, you know, there has to be persistent, you know, administering of medicines here. So even though a disease may be very serious, by taking the right medicine according to the doctor's prescription repeatedly, after a long time, the disease gets cured. This is what Krishna says. Yes, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Similarly, even though the mind is difficult to control, it is possible to control it by repeated practice according to the direction of the Guru, by constant application of the process of meditation of the Supreme Lord, and by dissociation from the objects of enjoyment. So constant practice of meditation is abhyasena, and constant detachment from object of enjoyment is vairagyena. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. So Patanjali says in his sutras, abhyasa vairagya abhyam tad nirodha, the Yoga Sutras says. The mind is controlled by practice and detachment. So it is possible by Ashtanga Yoga. But you have to practice it. Practice the yoga properly for a long time and practice detachment for a long time, and gradually the mind will come under control. Since you defeated many great warriors in battle, O Mahabahu, and even defeated Lord Shiva, can you not defeat the mind? This is what Krishna is suggesting by usage of the word Mahabahu. O Mahabahu, you have such powerful arms. You have defeated great warriors in battle. And you have even defeated Lord Shiva. So, can't you feed your mind? Like that he is asking. If you are able to defeat the soldier called the mind by the weapon of the great process of yoga, then you can be called mighty armed, Mahabaho. So basically by addressing him as Mahabaho, he is telling, does this, you know, glorification of being called as Mahabaho, does this befit you? You are accepting defeat so easily. Are you really mighty arm? Are you really Mahabaho? That is what Krishna is suggesting here. And then he is also addressing him as Kaunteya. He says, oh Kaunteya, you should not fear, as you are the son of my aunt Kunti, it is proper that I help you. Because you are Kaunteya, you are my cousin brother. Therefore, you will get my help. So, why are you fearing? You continue with the practice, and because you are Kaunteya, you are my cousin brother, I will definitely help you. That Krishna is suggesting. So, Krishna, this is Prabhupada's genius actually. So Prabhupada generally, whenever he quotes this verse, Prabhupada quotes the first two lines. So Prabhupada says, Arjuna said, After hearing this whole chapter of Ashtanga Yoga, Arjuna rejected this path by telling it is not possible for me to practice path. Chanchalam hi manak Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Arjuna said that I can even control the raging wind, but I cannot control the mind. And Krishna agreed to what Arjuna said. Prabhupada says, yes, Krishna did agree. Asamshayam mahabaho manodhirnigraham chalam. That is the first line. No doubt you are right, Arjuna. The mind is certainly very difficult to control and very fickle. But in the next line, Krishna also says, abhyasenat kaunteya vairagyena chagrihyate. By proper practice of Ashtanga Yoga and by proper practice of detachment, it is possible to control the mind by Ashtanga Yoga, he says. But Prabhupada does not highlight that second line so much. Because in reality, in the age of Kali, to practice Ashtanga Yoga is very difficult. Because in order to practice Ashtanga Yoga properly, you have to first practice Nishkama Karma Yoga properly. In order to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga properly, you have to need so many things which has to work, you know, together, you know, to perform these various yajnas and all that. You need pure ingredients, pure brahmanas who will perfectly chant the mantras, not make any pronunciation mistake. You have to regularly practice your Nitya Naimittika Karma without any deviation, and by doing all that for a significantly long time, your heart will become purified. And when your heart becomes thus purified, then you can start practicing Nishna, practicing Ashtanga Yoga and all that. So Prabhupada knows that it is in this day and age, and in order to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, first thing you need to know what your varna is, and you must have. Okay, even if you know what your varna is, if you have not done any of the samskaras from the beginning, then your varna is not fixed. So, there are a lot of complications here. So, Prabhupada does not get into these nitty-gritties of practicing Ashtanga Yoga and all that. So Prabhupada in the first six chapters, whether it is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, every Prabhupada speaks Bhakti Yoga only. Because of practical impossibility of following these yogas. Because you cannot practice Jnana or Ashtanga Yoga if you have not practiced, if your heart is not purified by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And Nishkama Karma Yoga to practice in this day and age is so difficult actually. Even something as simple as haldi, which is needed, is adulterated. Every single thing that you get in the market is adulterated. You need ghee. Ghee is adulterated. In Bombay, there is a market where there is an exclusive market where only one item is sold, which is ghee essence. Just like you have vanilla essence, butterscotch essence, strawberry essence, like that, there is ghee essence. In that whole market, there is only ghee essence which is sold. And they purchase this ghee essence and you put it, and there are many kind of vegetable and other such oils which have the color of ghee. When it is processed a little bit, it has the color of ghee and the consistency of ghee. So to that, but it is not ghee. It is some vegetable or other such oil, you know, like dalda. To that, you add this ghee essence and you get something which exactly smells like ghee, looks like ghee, feels like ghee, tastes like ghee, everything. Right? Like that. So in the name of ghee, that's what you will purchase in the market. So practically, this is true with everything, you know. So how are you supposed to practice this Nishkama Karma Yoga and achieve purification of heart? Where are you going to get qualified brahmanas who will perfectly chant the mantras? And so many things have to come together, and then it will be successful and your heart will become purified. What is the chance? So therefore Prabhupada does not get into these things. Prabhupada says Krishna agreed. That's what Prabhupada says. Krishna agreed with Arjuna's proposal that it is very difficult. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chagrihyate. So like that, Prabhupada says only that much. Krishna agrees with Arjuna's proposal that in this day and age, it is very difficult to practice Ashtanga Yoga like that. Okay, there is something in the chat box. Detachment is also difficult as we are in the Grihastha Ashram. Please clarify. Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, what to speak of Grihastha Ashram? Any ashram detachment is difficult. It is not easy. Right? In temple also, practically, everyone's birthday, everyone's remembrance day, marriage anniversary, for everything, practically every day, there is some sponsor. And while some people want to sponsor regular prasad, many people want to sponsor feast only. And they want to ensure that feast is cooked. And it's very difficult. I mean, every day, if so frequently feast is cooked, I mean, who is so detached that, you know, irrespective of whatever feast, you know, everyone around you is eating feast, but I will eat only dal and rice. How many people are so detached? See, it's very difficult. It's not just in the Grihastha Ashram. It is there in the Brahmachari Ashram also. And once in 3 years or 2 years, when there is health checkup done, there are a lot of health related issues, cholesterol, borderline, diabetes, and things like that, you know, rampant in the ashram actually. So these things are there. So detachment, where is it easy? Actually, it is difficult everywhere. There are challenges in every place. So it's not very easy. So bhakti yoga is more practical. But there is some level of detachment needed in bhakti yoga also, but not to the extent that is needed in, it is a kind of, the kind of prerequisite that is there for Ashtanga Yoga, that kind of prerequisite is not there for Bhakti Yoga. But even Bhakti Yoga, one cannot achieve perfect without some preliminary level of detachment. But of course, that detachment is engendered by proper practice of Bhakti Yoga only. You know, like that. Yes, Sachi Pranpo.
So the point I was mentioning, Prabhuji, for Abhyasana and the Vairagya, both are required for even Bhakti Yoga, because unless we change our internal wiring about, you know, what six principles which we learn in Bhakti Aloka, it is even after doing that also is very difficult to, repeatedly practicing also, like chanting, we are chanting since so many years, or practicing reading shastras, so many shastras, hearing classes regularly, still it is very, very difficult to control the mind. So what to speak about?
Prabhu, are you traveling? We lost you. But I sort of, we heard your question, but we lost you because your internet is very poor. I think you're traveling maybe. But I think we did hear your question. So I will take up that question. Yeah, what you say is true, Prabhu. Even, is it my internet which is poor, or is it your internet? I don't know. Okay. So, that is true. అథార ప్రయాసశ్చ ప్రజల్పో నియమాగ్రహ జనసంగశ్చ లౌల్యం చ షడ్బిర్ భక్తిర్ వినశ్యతి. సో వన్ హ్యావ్ టు ఆల్సో యునో ట్రై టు అవాయిడ్ అత్యాహార ప్రయాస ప్రజల్పో నియమాగ్రహ. సో దీస్ ఆర్ దేర్, ఐ అగ్రీ విత్ దట్ పాయింట్. సో దట్ లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ వైరాగ్య వన్ హ్యాస్ టు డెవలప్ ఫర్ ఎత్తి ఆల్సో, బట్ దట్ ది ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ హెల్ప్స్ దట్. భక్తి పరేషానుభవో విరేర్ అన్యత్ర చైష త్రిక ఏక కాల. సో అండ్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ బెనడిక్షన్ ఆన్ ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఈస్ యూ కెన్ ఆల్వేస్ బారో దీస్ థింగ్స్, యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టు ఓన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టు ఓన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, యూ కెన్ బారో ఇట్ ఫ్రమ్ other devotees. So there is lot of potential in the association of devotees. So you can, so if we are finding it difficult to do something, you know, mahat sevam dwaram ahor vimuktais tamo dwaram yoshitam sanghi sangha. You know, there is great potential in the association of devotees. You take the right association, even though we may not be individually capable, in the right association everything gets very easily done. So the advantage of association is there in bhakti yoga, but in ashtanga yoga you have to, everything is solitary meditation. So therefore that how we will get it is very difficult. So the greatest benefit, of course abhyasa vairagya is needed in bhakti also, but the greatest benefit of the path of bhakti yoga is power of association. But the other practices wants to practice alone, so therefore everyone is dependent on their own ability. But in bhakti yoga everything can be borrowed. Everything can be borrowed from the association of devotees. So that is the greatest benediction of the bhakti, like that. Does that answer your question to Sachipran bro?
Yes Prabhuji, yes.
Okay. There's another question. We can't control our mind during chanting while practicing bhakti yoga. Yeah, that is true. So then we can offer prayers to Krishna. So if we cannot do something, then all that we need to do is to submit our fallen state to Krishna and offer a few tears genuinely. Krishna, I am so fallen, finding it very difficult, please help me, right? Seek help. And seeking help is one of the most powerful is the most powerful means of progressing, you know, seeking help, right? Even in ordinary material exams, if you are sitting in the examination hall, you cannot seek help. You know, you are by yourself, you have to do it yourself. In bhakti, really for everything you can seek help. We say that you know, life is preparation, death is the examination. Even at the stage of examination, you can seek. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Please chant for me when leaving. Somehow help me remember Krishna. Hanyeham, hanyeham, ikabid vartma pagane. It is highly recommended. Seek help. So we are not expected to control our mind. We are expected to seek help. That much we can do. To seek help does not need much qualification. To do it ourselves need a lot of qualification. To seek help does not need much qualification. In Bhakti Yoga, all that we need to do is seek help. Because we don't have to individually possess anything. We can borrow everything in Bhakti Yoga. You lack enthusiasm, borrow it. You lack determination, borrow it. You lack taste for chanting, borrow it. You lack taste for hearing, borrow it. So practically everything can be borrowed. You don't have to own anything. You are finding it very difficult to do self-control. Borrow it in the association. Just go and pack yourself in the association. So whenever, you know, the attack of that sense gratification comes, the devotees will, you know, ward off that attack. So therefore, that way, yes, it is true that in Bhakti Yoga also there is need for some abhyasa and vairagya. But then you are not alone in the struggle. You can always seek help. That is the greatest benediction of Bhakti Yoga, actually. Anything else before we move forward? Krishna, Arjuna has asked this question and Krishna has answered this question. He says, yes, you are right, Arjuna. Mind is very difficult to control and very fickle, but with proper practice and detachment, it is possible to control the mind by the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. That's what he says. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask. Yes, Ramacharya Prabhu.
Prabhu, my question might be a little complex, but I'll try to present it. So I have been hearing some of your classes on this topic. And the way you presented appeared to me that on the yoga ladder, bhakti is there, but not in strong format. It's in the weak format. So the thing that I'm trying to understand is this understanding of Nishkam Karma Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. Some of the concept that we are hearing seems to be useful for bhakti also or for the bhaktas also. But at the same time, if we read the Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada is mostly talking about application of this concept for bhaktas, for devotional service.
True.
So, and if we follow Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur very clearly, you know, making the distinction that there is Nishkam Karma 1, Nishkam Karma 2, and then, you know, different paths. Ashtanga Yoga is one of them. And sounds like that it might not be very important for bhaktas. We have to understand that at some point we have to leave it. So how we can harmonize both types of understanding?
Well, see, you have to understand what each acharya's commentary is bringing to the table. So each acharya has an apurvata, you know, they have a particular style of presenting commentary, they have a particular audience. And so if you want to technically perfectly understand what is Nishkama Yoga, what is Jnana Yoga, what is Ashtanga Yoga, then you can understand from Srila Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary. But if you don't want to get unnecessarily distracted by these details and confused by these details, and you want an inspiration to clearly practice only bhakti yoga, then you take Srila Prabhupada's commentary. So each acharya brings a particular unique contribution in their commentaries. So you need to know what to expect in which commentary. So there is no contradiction here. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada is not contradicting Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Just that certain verses which are directly talking about Ashtanga Yoga or Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, Srila Prabhupada is explaining Bhakti Yoga in those verses also. Because ultimately, Prabhupada wants us to practice Bhakti Yoga and get distracted by the technical elaborations about Nishkama Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga like that. Is that clear, bro?
Yes, bro. Yeah. So then again, it comes down to the devotees or the follower, that how you want to basically take the message.
Nee, both messages are valid messages, right? Is there if as devotees, if you have a desire to understand Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga also in little bit more detail, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives it. But if you don't want to get distracted by those details and be focused in Bhakti Yoga, Prabhupada's commentary gives. So they are complementary commentaries. They are not like, they are perfectly harmonized commentaries. We don't have to harmonize anything there. The commentaries are harmonized commentaries. Depends on what you want. So you have a desire to understand these details, you can understand them through Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. You don't want those details, you want to just purely focus on practicing bhakti, your Prabhupada's purports are there. So there is no contradiction there.
I see, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yeah. Shyamali Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes,
so, you made it clear the big difference between, or one of the major factors in Bhakti Yoga is where we are practicing stage.
I'm sorry, Mataji, just one second. Your voice is breaking. Your internet is little bit fluctuating, I think. Is there... can you little bit situate at a little better place where we can hear you a little more clearly? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Madhu.
Yeah. If my voice is still breaking, I can type my question. Should I do that?
No, your voice is clear.
Now it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just saying that in Bhakti Yoga, there is so much emphasis, even at the sadhaka stage, right? On association of devotees, on seeking help and revealing your mind and finding solutions from others, rather than working on yourself or whatever. But there is so much scope of... immaturity also in there, everybody has fragile egos to a large extent, all practicing sadhakas. We've not purified ourselves and not reached a stage. So practically speaking, isn't it better to have principle, because fragile egos, sensitive people, I may seek help from somebody and the person may keep expecting that I seek help or whatever. There are too many complications that, it remains on the superficial level. We have, then the scope for formalities and everything comes in. It just complicates the matters more. So in bhakti, if on a personal sadhaka level, at a sadhaka level, if a stress is given a little bit more on internalizing and self-work, And maybe after a certain stage of, you know, of steady practice, that the association is given so much importance. I mean, I understand that the principle is there, but if we are able to, I don't know, is it okay to practice like that? Natures are also different, right?
Yeah, thank you for asking this question, Madhuri. It is true that we all have our, these are not, I am not telling there is no need for any self work. I am not pushing the responsibility on the association. Okay, you don't have to do any self work, you know, borrow everything. When I said borrow, it means you don't have to struggle alone. Seek help. Seek help for you to struggle. So that I meant. So it means I just wanted to emphasize the facility of taking help from others. But of course, in that there is the problem of ego and trying to gel with people. So, and it is not that we are expected to gel with every single person. It's not that we have to go and open up our mind to every single person and take help from every single person. That is not what is recommended. So it is just find out one or two people, few people who are like-minded, affectionate, sajatiya ashaye snigde sadhu sangha sovare, who are more advanced than us. More advanced means what? They have little bit taken care of their false ego more than us, which means they have controlled their false ego to a good extent and they can tolerate our false ego also to a good extent. So choose people and invest in a relationship. The problem is we are hearing about seeking help. But before seeking help, we have to invest in those relationships where, I feel comfortable to seek help. So investing means sacrifice. So now if I expect that Vishwanath will come to me and reveal his heart in confidence to me, it is unreasonable because there has not been any mutual investment of, give and take and sacrifice by which he will feel confident to come and reveal his struggles to me. But definitely, at least in certain aspects, he may feel comfortable revealing his heart and confidence to you or Shyamlal Prabhu, because there are literally more than a decade of investment from both sides in the form of certain sacrifices and all that. So yes, it is true that when we hear about taking help, we say, oh, taking help is very difficult because there are multiple false ego involved. We are not supposed to take help from anyone and everyone. We have to first prepare ourselves to seek help, which means some kind of sacrifice, some kind of service. It is difficult, of course, to have cordial relationships with devotees is difficult, but to struggle alone is million times more difficult, actually. So we have to, of course, in the material world, everything is difficult. I mean, nothing is easy. So if I presented that, bhakti is so easy, then, probably I misrepresented the facts. No, it is not that way. Definitely to cooperate with devotees, to deal with each other's false ego is not an easy thing. I agree with that point. But to struggle alone is literally impossible. So slowly, at least, if an individual struggle for anartha nivritti is 1,000 times more difficult than struggling to establish a good relationship with at least a few devotees in whom we can trust and seek help and like that. So that is what I meant. Not that I am oversimplifying the whole thing and telling that, oh, it's so easy. Look, come on, you are struggling. Just go and ask for help from your neighbor and immediately everything is solved. You know, I'm not presenting such a very oversimplified, absolutely easy version of bhakti. Of course, it is difficult, but to struggle alone is much more difficult. That's what I meant, actually.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Is that relevant,
Madhu?
Yeah. Yes, Prabhupada, thank you. And it is nice to understand that, okay, this is the path and this is, like, difficulties are there in every path, but this is the path and this is where we need to focus. It's clear, Ruchi. Thank you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points or questions, please. Okay, one hand up. Okay, Keshav Priyam.
Prabhuji, I just heard this discussion, your discussion, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, does it mean that every devotee in our movement are definitely seeking this comfort and help from some other devotee of their own, like from higher authority or same, their own comfort zone? Like, definitely everyone needs this help, is it, Prabhuji? They are seeking it from anyone? Or if they themselves are self-sustainable people also, they are independent. Is there something like that?
There is. The more one feels they are self-sustaining, the more they are in illusion, actually. Because okay, the more one progresses, the more one realizes they are dependent on the association of devotees. And that is what is the prayer of every perfected devotee, whether it is Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj or Ambarish Maharaj. When the Lord came right in front of them and asked, what do you want? All of them asked for association of devotees. So if someone thinks that I am very self-sufficient, the goal of bhakti is not to become self-sufficient. The goal of bhakti is to realize our interdependence on devotees. So the more we feel we are self-sufficient, the more we are walking away from our goal, actually.
Correct.
But that dependence is not like a parasitic dependence. You know, you don't want to take any responsibility, put all the responsibility on the devotees. It's not like a parasitic dependence. But it is a very grateful dependence, you know. You reciprocate, you realize that you are helplessly dependent on the mercy of the devotees, for which you are extremely grateful and willing to serve by putting your life in front of them. So that kind of dependence, not the kind of parasitic dependence, not that a kind of dependence where we don't wish to take any responsibility on ourselves. We take all the responsibility on ourselves, but at the same time, we understand that I cannot move an inch without the mercy of the devotees, without the association of devotees. So that kind of a difference. So therefore, when someone feels, okay, I think I am progressing, I am feeling very self-sufficient, I don't think I am so dependent on the association of devotees, that person is walking in the opposite direction, actually. The more one progresses, the more one realizes how dependent we are, helplessly dependent we are in the association of devotees. That is actually bhakti.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, it's just 2 minutes time. I don't wish to take a new verse now. So I think we will pause here and continue this discussion next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We'll continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna, very much.